you need a Bible, please put up your hand, and one of our welcome team will bring a Bible over to you. Our first reading tonight is in the book of Acts, and that's on page 1114. It's Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. The Apostle Paul has been traveling around telling different cities and people in different cities about the Lord Jesus. And he comes to a place called Corinth. Now, what I want you to do is to listen out for when the passage mentions the names of Priscilla and Aquila. Let's read from Acts 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. "This man," they charged, "is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law." Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he had them ejected from the court. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatever. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Kenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Now please turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 16. That's on page 1142 of the church Bibles. As Paul comes to the end of the letter, he says this: "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house." This is God's word. Please open your Bible again at Acts 18. And it might be worth just having a thumb in Romans 16 as well. As we turn there, let's pray. Father, please speak directly and personally to us, that it would transform us and make us more like our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. If you're here tonight and you consider yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus, then I wonder if you know that you are a gospel worker. You are a gospel worker. All believers in Jesus are to be involved in the work of proclaiming him and his gospel, believing that as we do that, he is at work and he will call people to follow him. It was a work that was produced by the Lord Jesus on his cross. It was a work that continues through time to our day and will continue until the day the Lord Jesus comes back. Now, not all gospel workers are called to play the same role. But please hear this. There are no spectators. There is no one sitting on the bench waiting to be subbed in. All gospel workers, all believers, are called to play their part. Now, tonight, we're going to look at a married couple called Priscilla and Aquila, who the Apostle Paul in Romans 16, verse 3 says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." What was it that marked Priscilla and Aquila out as fellow gospel workers? Well, I'm certain they talked to others about the message of the Lord Jesus and his cross. But what marks them out perhaps most sharply in Acts 18 is that they are gospel workers who share their lives with others. Gospel workers share their lives with others. They spent lots of time with other people. They had a beneficial effect on them. Not for them, this attitude. When we go home on a Sunday night and walk through the door and close it behind them and say, "Well, I'm glad I don't need to see them till next Sunday." No. Their attitude was to keep the door propped open. They had people after church. They had people before church. We're told that two churches met in their home. They even had people during church. They had meals with people. I'm sure they must have babysat and just invited folks into their lives. They were a bit like wet paint for Jesus. And by that I mean this: no matter how much you try to avoid it, you can't but come into contact with it. And as you brushed against Priscilla and Aquila, you came into contact with the Lord Jesus. They were like wet paint for the gospel. And for that wet paint to spread, they knew that their door had to be open and that their lives had to be open. They had to come into contact with more and more people so that that paint would brush off onto others. Now, for us tonight, there are at least three things that we as a church of gospel workers can learn from those gospel workers who shared their lives with others. The first one is this. Gospel workers share their lives sacrificially for others. What do we know about Priscilla and Aquila? Well, back in Acts 18, we're told that they live in Corinth. And at least Aquila is from a Jewish background. Aquila came from northern Turkey. And at some point, he and his wife opened a camping store, an outdoor goods store in Rome. When the Roman Emperor Claudius forced all the Jewish people in Rome to leave, they left Rome and set up shop as tent makers again in Corinth. Corinth was their new home. Now, we've got to piece some of this together, but at some point, the Apostle Paul comes to Corinth. And whether there's a natural affinity because he's from a Jewish background and whether he's a fellow tent maker, he turns up at their house, and Priscilla and Aquila welcome him into their home. They seem to get on like a house on fire. Now, I noticed this as well this week. Because Aquila here is called a Jew, and he's not described as a believer in the Lord Jesus, or a disciple, or a follower of the way, I think when Paul first comes to Corinth, I'm not sure that Priscilla and Aquila are actually believers in Jesus. I get the impression that at some point, as Paul declares to them that Jesus is Savior and Lord, that he came to die for their sins, that as they trust in him, they would be rescued, that they would be forgiven and would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Paul begins to share his life with Priscilla and Aquila. Look at the end of verse 3. He stayed and worked with them. Paul was like wet paint, first of all, to Priscilla and Aquila. He shared his life. He spoke to them about Jesus. He must have shared all of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, all of what it meant to be a tent maker for Jesus. I remember one of my mates. When we were growing up, his mom and dad went on holiday for a couple of weeks. And he went to live for those 2 weeks with a godly older Christian couple. And there were family prayers twice a day and different devotions. And when he was at school and he came back, they asked him how had he made a stand for his faith in Jesus that day. Who could they pray for among his friends that they might come to know and love the Lord Jesus? That had such a deep impact on his life that things that he learned during those 2 weeks, he's still putting into practice because that older godly couple shared their lives with my mate. And as Paul taught Priscilla and Aquila all that it meant to follow Jesus, they learned Paul's pattern of sacrificially giving of himself for the good of others. Maybe you didn't notice this, but look at verse 11. Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Imagine having a house guest for 18 months. Not a renter. Not someone who stayed in the spare room. He was a guest. He didn't stay out the back. He was there day after day. You know, we get stressed out if people come longer than an afternoon. You know, maybe I can put up with them for a day or two, a week and a push. But 18 months? That's sacrifice. That's putting yourself out for the sake of others. Then in verse 18 and 19, Paul says to Priscilla and Aquila, we're leaving Corinth. We're going to go back to Antioch, across the other side of the world, and you guys are coming. And we're going to sail there by way of Ephesus. Now, when they get to Ephesus, Paul says, look, there's been a change of plan. You're not coming with me to Antioch. You're staying here in Ephesus, and I'm going to go back to Antioch. And when Paul leaves, what do? They take in a man called Apollos. And we have no idea how long he might have stayed with them for. And then in Romans again, we're told there was a church who met in their house. Every night, Paul was there. Every night, there were people in their home. They had to buy extra food, extra toothpaste, extra bed linen, extra toilet paper, week after week after week. Priscilla and Aquila don't have any problem with this. They were gospel workers who shared their lives and sacrificially gave that others might hear about Jesus. How could they do that? Because that was the pattern of the Lord Jesus himself, who willingly left his Father's side and came to this earth, who shared his life with his disciples and sacrificially gave his own life up to rescue all who trust in him from their sins. At great personal cost, the Lord Jesus sacrificed his life. Priscilla and Aquila got that following Jesus meant that they would follow his pattern. Their attitude was that there's no area of life that we can't follow Jesus. They didn't say this far and no further. They said, we will submit everything in your service, Lord. They looked at the resources they had. They said, Lord, use this. Use this house. The door's open. No matter what it cost them. Is that how we see our marriages, those of us who are married? Is that how we see our homes, those of us who own them? Is that how we see our kitchens and our spare bedrooms and our lofts and our garages? And the resources that Jesus can use, that we can share our lives for the good of others? See, the wrong attitude, the sinful attitude, is for me to say, actually, no, those things are mine. This is my time. That's my money. That's my garage. That's my spare room. There's no way anyone's coming to stay for 18 months. Maybe you've not got a house. Maybe you're not the owner. You don't call the shots. But what is it that the Lord Jesus has graciously given you that you can share your life with and sacrificially give in his service? Maybe you've got a car that you can use to bring people to church or go visit those who are ill. Maybe you've got a spare evening that could be used to serve here at church. Each of us have been given time, resources, stuff that can be sacrificially used to share our lives for the good of others. Are we willing to do it with Jesus' help? Second thing that struck me about Priscilla and Aquila is that they are gospel workers who share their lives to equip others. They are gospel workers who share their lives to equip others. What do I mean? Well, just as Paul shared his life with Priscilla and Aquila and taught them what it was to follow Jesus, they in turn do that for those who come next. The wet paint that Paul had rubbed off on them, they start to rub off on others as they mingle with them, as they have people around. Look at verse 24. This is after Paul has left Ephesus and they're on their own. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew John's baptism. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. What's going on? Well, Apollos comes to Ephesus and starts to teach people about the Lord Jesus. And yet, Priscilla and Aquila recognize that there's been some kind of misunderstanding. His understanding's not quite there. But instead of writing him off, instead of slagging him off to others, instead of criticizing him, they say, Apollos, why don't you come to our house? We'd love to sit down with you with Bibles open. And we'd love to plainly and more fully teach you about the way of God. Teach you really about what happened that day on the cross when Jesus died. It makes me thank God for those who have acted like that in my life towards me. The youth leader who on a Saturday invited me and a group of my mates round to his house. And it must have been awful for him because we were a pretty grim lot. But he sat us down with Bibles open and went through the Gospels, teaching us about the Lord Jesus and his cross, teaching us about the resurrection and the importance of these things. We went through other books of the Bible, and he painstakingly showed us what it meant to follow Jesus and to be godly young men. He would often get us pizza or chips, sometimes pizza and chips. But he was modeling what it was to study the Bible. He was rubbing that gospel paint onto us, that one day we would rub that off to others. You know, he wouldn't patronize us. He opened up his life and shared it with us. And it's great that the way the Lord Jesus corrects faulty understandings, or even ignorance as it was in our case, is to send to those people who are ignorant, us, people who can teach the way of God more fully. A helpful way to think about this is to think about links in a gospel chain. Link after link after link. How could Priscilla and Aquila equip Apollos? Well, as they learn from Paul. And who had taught Paul? Well, the Lord Jesus. And so that link went on and on and on. And it's come down to our day, to the people who taught us, that we might teach others and be links in the gospel chain. What does Apollos do? Well, look at verse 27. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, that's the area of Greece that Corinth is in, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. Apollos is doing to others what Priscilla and Aquila had done for him. That's the way it works. That's the way the Lord Jesus wants it to be. You see, he gathered around him a group of people and willingly gave his life to them and for them. He died and rose again and gifted them his spirit. And then what? He told them to go and teach others. And that the people they told in turn went and told others and they went. And in turn, those people told others and they went. And as they shared their lives, they were links in this great gospel chain. It's a link that continues to this day and that we are to be involved in. I think that's why things like summer camps, like Contagious and Connect, have been so important for churches like ours. Not just because we get to teach the Lord Jesus without lots of other distractions, but in those environments, those who have been Christians for a little bit longer get to share life with those who have been Christians a little less longer. And with the teaching of Jesus and that sharing of life coming close, brings links in that gospel chain. There will always be those whose understanding of the Lord Jesus is greater than ours. There will always be those whose understanding is a bit less. But the Lord Jesus calls us to use whatever understanding he's given us to be used in his service. And that includes those who as yet have absolutely no understanding of him. And it causes me to ask the question, who are the people that God has placed in my life that I might act like Priscilla and Aquila to? Those who I can sit down with my Bible and share the Lord Jesus and tell them about the way of salvation. That classmate at school, that fellow student at university, that other parent at the school gate, that person we sit next to at work. And you might be sitting thinking, well, how do I do that? Well, as we sit down with our Bibles open and tell them about Jesus. You know, one place that's great to go, you could go to Luke 23 and share with them about the cross. And you could speak of, as Jesus is dying, he speaks to a man beside him who trusts that Jesus will forgive his sins and rescue him as he puts his trust in him. And as he does just that, Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. As that man trusts Jesus, Jesus promises that he will be in heaven. And if you're here tonight and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, well, let me act as Priscilla and Aquila would. Let me be one of the links in the gospel chain and share some of the message that they believed with you. You see, they would say something like this, that Jesus is the rescuer that we need because all of us have turned against God and rebelled against him. Jesus died on the cross, and as we trust that he did that on our part, all the punishment that we deserve for our rebellion against God was placed in him, so that by believing in him, we might be saved from God's right judgment. Jesus freely offers rescue tonight and welcomes all who call on him in faith. And as you obey that call of the Lord Jesus to do that, you become a fellow gospel worker. You become involved, you become a link in the chain telling others. You get the gospel paint that you're supposed to mingle with others or it might rub off on other people. And I pray that EEFC and all the churches that are in our partnership have people like Priscilla and Aquila who draw alongside and share their lives. What's the third and briefly last thing about Priscilla and Aquila? Well, it's this. Gospel workers share their lives so that others would be devoted to Jesus. Just turn over to Romans 16. So page 1142. Let me read you the verses that mention them again. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. For Priscilla and Aquila, to open up their home as a local church was a risky business. It would have been dangerous. It would have put them on probably the radar of the authorities. It would almost certainly have led to persecution, and perhaps even it could have led to death. They've already had to leave Rome once. And perhaps you would have thought, well, you know, as we go back there, maybe we should keep a low profile. But it's clear that Priscilla and Aquila, they're not afraid of taking risks for the Lord Jesus. What Jesus says, what Jesus wants, that is most important to them. And that devotion that they show is what they want others to have as well. As people come to faith in the Lord Jesus, you can almost see Priscilla and Aquila saying to each other, well, where are people going to meet? Where are they going to be taken care of? Where are they going to hear and understand more of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus? Where are they going to be equipped to serve and to serve others? We should open up our home as a church. And that's what they do. Here in Rome, at Priscilla and Aquila's house, people would have openly prayed. People would have sang songs. The Bible would have been opened up. People would have heard about Jesus. His name would have been spoken often and frequently. They would have taken the Lord's Supper together, we suppose. Here were people who shared their lives so that others would be devoted to Jesus as well. Where we used to play football growing up, there was a guy who used to walk past with a red setter. That's a dog, okay? There was a guy who used to come by with this beautiful big red dog, Okay, it was lovely. It still sticks in my mind. This guy loved his red setter. You could tell that by the way that he talked to it. You know, he spoke, you know, in the most lovely tone. It wasn't like, hey, Fido, here. It was Fido, or whatever the dog's name was. He loved that red setter. And when he would stop and watch us kick the ball about, occasionally he would talk to us about his red setter. That man was devoted. I didn't know what his name was. He's just the guy with a red setter. But he was devoted to it. And every now and again, when I'm up in Glasgow and I bump into a friend, someone eventually, remember that guy with the red setter? What was that guy known for? His love of a red setter. What did people know us to be devoted to? What do people know us to be devoted to? When people think about our lives or our homes. Now, I don't think this is calling us to open a house church. But I think what it's saying is the name of the Lord Jesus spoken often in our homes? Is there a place where people are openly encouraged to pray? Do we long to share our lives with people that they would be devoted to Jesus as well? This church, any church, needs Priscillas and Aquilas. Gospel workers who will share their lives for the sake of the Lord Jesus. How can we do it? Well, it's as we trust Jesus, as we rely on the Holy Spirit, as we submit to Him, as we say, Lord Jesus, I want what you want for my life. I submit all my resources, all the things that you've given me into your service. Please, would you help me to live my life mingling with others that it would be used for your good. And as he quotes us in the paint of the gospel, he wants us to live with open doors that others might brush up against us and meet Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus, who always thought of others before himself, who sacrificially gave his life to rescue sinners, who equipped people with his Spirit and commanded them to go so that others would be devoted to him. Father, we ask that we would be obedient to his commands. Thank you for those in our lives who have been like Priscilla and Aquila, who have spent time rubbing off that gospel paint, that we would be pointed again and again to the Lord Jesus. Please bring to mind those that we can do that with ourselves. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.